Good morning. I'm only hesitant. I'm only dialing back the enthusiasm because those off days are not off days until they actually play the first game of the series. That's why they're built in. But I think we're looking okay from a weather perspective. It's obviously not going to be balmy out there, but you know, I think the some of the highs are even in the low 50s, and there is some rain in and about both locations, but it's not looking too dire, so that's good. Hopefully we don't get sleeted or snowed or iced or frosted out.
Yeah. Yeah, people out here don't realize on the East Coast opening day,
you get snow first week of April.
It's not necessarily like...
you get snow mid-April, actually, on the East Coast.
Yeah, it's not like springtime opening day. No, it's put your park on, let's go to the game.
Yeah, right? Usually like one last storm bags in April, just to remind everybody about, you know, before spring truly springs, yeah.
Oh, my God. When I was in school, and I went to school in Chicago, I went to opening day at Wrigley Field, and sat in the terrace section underneath the grandstands and literally froze. Had every piece of clothing on I could, still froze.
Yeah.
Only warmed by the sight of Tuffy Rhodes hitting 3 home runs off Doc Gooden.
Whoa!
And the Cubs still losing. But you look on the bleachers and where it was sunny and they were buffeted from the wind, and all the dudes with their shirts off, you know?
That's, well, yeah. Now, hold on, I got to go back to the...
Two different planets.
Hold on, Doc gave up 3 bombs on opening day. What year was that?
Tuffy Rhodes?
Yeah, what year was
Carl Tuffy Rhodes?
I'm curious.
That was the year where it didn't just end badly for the Cubs, it ended badly for everyone because it was 1994.
That was a kind of a diminished Doc Gooden at that point, yeah.
But he came back and threw a no-hitter.
They carried him off. It was awesome.
Oh, man. So, Andy, I'm taking the kids, my family, to Chicago and for spring break. We're trying to, you know, see the world, see the country. And we are going to Wrigley on a Monday night, April 10. That's going to be cold, right?
I would bring your whatever you got for the ski slopes. Yeah, just like put that underneath here.
Yeah.
You might need a flask too.
Okay, well, I can do that. Maybe not the 11-year-old, but I can do that. All right, Andy, here we go. We just talked to Buster Olney, and he was great. He's in Houston getting ready for the White Sox and the Astros, and we talked big picture stuff, including Ohtani sweepstakes and all that. But I said, Buster, if I look around at all the predictions, and it seems like most of the industry has the Giants as a middle-of-the-pack, forgettable non-contender. And Buster Olney said, yep, that's the deal, is what he said. So, Andy, what would you say the Giants would say to you are projected to be a middle-of-the-pack, non-threatening non-contender?
Well, are they saying this to Buster Olney specifically? Because they probably say, what did he say about the Orioles last year? He said they're going to be an embarrassment and lose 130 games. And they ended up almost making the playoffs. So that would probably be their specific retort there. Uh-huh. They think that this is a team that's got a high floor. They think that they've got a lot of depth. They're not going to, you know, superstar you to death. But they think that they're not going to give many innings to pitchers that are bad. They're not going to give many at-bats to hitters that are bad. And that adds up. It added up certainly in 2021. And I don't think that they've got the same, you know, chance to win 107 games this year. But they feel like this team on opening day is better than the team in 2021 is. So, you know, you make of that what you will. But they've got a lot to make up from last year. I mean, they have Carlos Rodon is not in this rotation, but they've got a lot of depth in that rotation. So they're going to try to win by, you know, a sort of a snout-to-tail approach like they did 2 years ago.
So their attitude is, you know, deep pitching and non-superstar grindy at bats. And then the goal being, I mean, as you said, magic can happen like the Baltimore Orioles. But in a division with the Padres and Dodgers, would, if you gave them truth serum, would the realistic goal be, hey, we can sneak into a wild card?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And it's going to help. You know, you look at their record against the Padres and Dodgers last year. It was not good at all. I think it was they were 6-13 and 5-14 against them. I don't have it in front of me, but it was pretty, pretty bad. But then you look at the record against everybody else, and it was above 500. And, you know, so I think the Giants maybe are positioned to benefit probably the most among teams from this schedule change where you play those teams 12 times instead of 19, and you play outside the division, and you know, they have a lot of pitchers that they'll throw at you. They won't give you the same look 2 or 3 times. A guy like Tyler Rogers, you know, he's unfamiliarity of facing more opponents, not facing the same team 19 times. That's going to be good, you know, for guys like him. So, you know, I think this schedule does work to their advantage a little bit, but they got to get through this opening part of it because not only is it a tough trip to start the year, I think three of their first four home opponents are what, the Mets, Dodgers, and Cardinals. They don't play a road game in the Pacific time zone until the second week of May. So, you know, they got to get to Mother's Day and be around sniffing distance of 500. That's going to be the first goal, because it's going to be a tough start to the season for them.
Everybody remember that when, you know, this is tough. He's right. Non-Pacific time zone, Yankees and White Sox, and then they're home for the Royals. Hey, Matt Duffy is coming in. And he'll be on our show, by the way, next Thursday. Everybody book your Matt Duffy love here. Then the Dodgers. Then they, as Andy points out, then they go back into the Eastern time zone at Detroit, at Miami. And then here come the Mets and the Cardinals. So it is really, really tough. So they're going to have to, like you said, Mother's Day within sniffing distance of 500. I like that. Okay, so we've laid that out. Now we got to go bigger picture, Andy. And I want to thank you for doing this piece with Giants CEO Greg Johnson, who's the guy. This is the owner. This is the main guy. And he commented on Farhan Zaidi's future. And I guess the quote you got was, quote, "The message is that we are very happy with the direction of the ball club. We are very happy with what Farhan is building, and our goal is to lock him into a longer-term deal." So that's a pretty strong statement. Can you add some context and layers to your conversation about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've all, I think, tried on the beat to try to figure out, you know, what's Farhan's status, because he signed a five-year contract. That was what was publicly disclosed, and he'd be entering year five, you know, and I think you always want to know, you know, he's the guy who's throwing the football around. He's the guy who's in charge. The organization takes its cues from him. His philosophies are the philosophies. You know, it's important to know just where he stands and sort of who's going to have the keys to the kingdom here. And there was just a lot of opacity around that. And so, you know, Greg Johnson, really the only guy who can speak to it. And so I requested him, and he was in Paris. He was at a bunch of meetings with Franklin Resources, but I was able to take my call and said, "Look, I don't want to talk about this, but I realize it's enough of a topic, and there is another option there that's part of that contract that had not been disclosed, and they fully intend to pick that up, and they do hope very fervently that they can extend far beyond that as well." So, you know, for anybody who was entering this year sort of on pins and needles, and you're in the Fire Farhan camp, and you're not happy with the direction that the Giants have taken under him, and you're hoping that maybe this is the year that they fall flat on their face and he is out on the street, well, you know, that's not going to happen, clearly. He's got the full support of ownership, of the board, and they feel really, really good about, you know, the direction of the team. They think as the farm system starts to have some inputs coming to the big leagues, then it's going to be the full realization of you know, what they hoped the Giants could do under him. You know, obviously a lot of reasons that there are valid criticisms that can be thrown his way. A lot of things that could have been done or should have been done differently. So, and a lot of things you just throw up your hands. It's like the Carlos Correa thing just kind of happened, you know, and in a way they did what they had to do, make the responsible call at that point when the physical didn't show what they hoped it would show. But, you know, overall, the fact of the matter is, you know, this is the guy who's going to be running things beyond this season and potentially a lot longer than that.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
I mean, it's valuable information to get, and sure do appreciate you got him in Paris at his global summit. My goodness. And so he's a long way from Third and King, hanging out in the Champs-Élysées, but he still talked Farhan Zaidi. You know, I wonder, Andy, how much of that is, too, is just continuity? You don't want to keep disrupting everything, and you know, you got to kind of bank on the long term. But you said the farm system was something he pointed to, and I'm wondering, in your estimation, you just finished a spring training in which I think you could pretty much only say that Casey Schmidt? Was he really the only farm guy who flashed? I mean, everybody loves Kyle Harrison. He didn't have a great spring, but, I mean, is that it? Schmidt and Harrison? I mean, you would expect more. I mean, Jordan Walker makes the Cardinal roster. Anthony Volpe makes the Yankee roster. This is not happening for the Giants. I wonder how Greg Johnson would sort of answer that.
Yeah, no, that's very, very fair. I mean, there are teams that are jumping players to the big leagues. Look at the Braves, man. I mean, yeah. You know, they've got like Spencer Strider, Michael Harris. Those guys become two of the best players in the league just, you know, almost out of nowhere, fully formed as big leaguers. And they're not afraid to keep doing it. I mean, you know, the Vaughn Grissoms of the world. And you're right. You know, it's not like Marco Luciano's ready for the big leagues right now. And he's had some setbacks. And, you know, Patrick Bailey's had some setbacks. But he had a good camp, too. And I think he's probably going to be the catcher on this team before long, maybe even before the end of this season. So you're right. The Giants don't have – they've got a lot of depth. I mean, they lost, I think, 8 players in the minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft. So they've got a lot of players that are interesting in their system. But, you know, we know that the Giants have not been able to go out and buy their stars. They got to develop them. And can Casey Schmidt be someone who is, you know, a superstar-type player? I think the jury's out on that. He's obviously got a lot of development left with the bat, but we know that the defense will definitely play and will be an asset in the big leagues. And you're right, you know, Kyle Harrison can't just be a nice pitcher. He's got to be a star pitcher. He's got to be, you know, a Bumgarner for this franchise. And you go down the line with some of the prospects in the system. Do they have the kind of impact? No, that's why they're not ranked in the top 5 as you rank the farm systems. But, you know, and they've got to start hitting on the number 1 picks, whether these guys are start to develop later or you know, they just sort of tear through your system. I mean, here's one thing. One guy who's probably the odds-on favorite to win NL Rookie of the Year is Corbin Carroll. The guy, he could steal 50 bases this year. He's dynamic, great player for the Diamondbacks. The Giants are the only organization that has 2 guys that are drafted ahead of him. Will Wilson was taken 1 pick ahead of him, and then Hunter Bishop was taken 10th overall.
Gosh.
So
that's tough.
So when you look at it, when you look at it that way, when you mention Walker, I mean, it is sobering. You know, you do have to mention in context the Giants farm system has been a big disappointment, and they've, you know, every organization has dealt with what the Giants dealt with, having to lose the 2020 minor league season to COVID and having the development challenges spring out of that. So you're right. I think it's more than encouraging. The farm system's got to be more than that. And probably by the end of the season, that there's got to be a lot more they point to than encouraging for you to really grade it out.
Yeah, well said. Sobering. Good word. Before I let you go, Andy, opening day roster. Just go back to the tomorrow. It's not named yet, right? And I guess my questions are, Blake Sable and Bryce Johnson, will they make the opening day roster because Slater and Haniger start on the IL? And will Sean Gelly make the opening day roster, or is there something I'm forgetting here?
Yeah, no, I think you've got it all right. Haniger and Slater to start on the IL. We expect Gelly will get the last bullpen spot. They haven't announced anything yet, but Bryce Johnson, the only other center fielder on the team besides Mike Yastrzemski, so he's kind of got to make the team. And then I think Blake Sable, unless they change their mind, the way they were thinking is Blake Sable was going to start in left field on opening day. 17th starting left fielder in 17 seasons, beginning with Mr. BLB, yep. Number 25 in 2007, which is amazing. What an amazing stat.
The streak continues.
Is there any way to look up any team in the history of baseball that's had that?
It's got to be a record. I mean, it's got to be.
I would love, you know what, I should put like Sarah Langs or one of the people who's way smarter than me on that and see, you know, what is this a record? And if so, what's the next closest? Because, and it's a cavalcade of heroes, man. I mean, you got Dave Roberts in there.
Yeah.
He's a current manager. Mark DeRosa, who just managed the WBC, Team USA, he's on that list. You got, Pat Burrell on that list, you know, Angel Pagan, Andres Torres, Michael Morse. I mean, Aoki is on that list.
Andy, and we're talking to Andy Bagley here before I let him go to New York. Larry loves his reunions. How about this for a Giants promotion? Left fielder reunion day. Coming out of the cornfield. Here they come. Nori Aoki. Rennell announcing him. Aubrey Huff. There's my idea, Paulie.
You got to bring up.
I know. Well, you got to bring him back. He's one of them. You got to bring him back.
Yeah.
The lightning rod. You got to bring him back. Morse, wow. On and on. Jarrett Parker. I mean, that's one of those classic.
Jarrett Parker.
So that's it. There's my idea for Larry. The next promotion, left fielder reunion day, 17 straight. All right. We're all set. We got it. We got the next
one. I'll let you do that one. That'll be your idea. That'll be your baby. And I look forward to hearing what Larry says.
You'll be writing a big deep dive in The Athletic about it when it happens, 1 through 17. Oh, man, fun. All right, buddy. Hey, where's your Friday? I don't want to probe into your – I don't want your paparazzi to chase you, but I need to know where the Friday night dinner – you got a Friday night in New York, buddy.
Hey.
Where are you going?
No, I know better. I would jinx myself. If I made a reservation, I guarantee you they'll rain out opening day, and then we'll be at the ballpark on Friday.
I have
no plans. I have zero plans. I think there's more than six or seven restaurants in New York.
So yeah, you'll find something.
Go see Crook and go see Kipe and at Carmine's on the Upper West Side, I think.
Oh, bad spot.
Carmine's, yeah. I've been there. Carmine's is a good spot. Yeah.
Man, go see hi to Dwayne. All right, Andy. Great catching up. And congrats on a New York-Chicago opening week. And you worked hard, buddy. You earned it. So enjoy that expense account, and we'll catch up next week.
All right. Sounds good. Take care.
See you, Bags.
I'm telling you guys, as a ball writer, you get New York, Chicago with two off days?
Well, let's not forget,
Nirvana.
That's why I was hoping they were going to send us back there, because we do opening day Yankee Stadium. Then afternoon Saturday, right downtown to the Garden for Bruce on Saturday night. Although,
Your head might explode. That's it.
It would have been a hell of a day.
You might just go dive into the East River and never come back.
And I got to say, the only way to do it would have been for us to get on the subway and then just get off at Penn Station, because then you walk right upstairs, boom, you're in the Garden. That's like, who came here for the ball games? Yeah. No, I bet you there'll be an acknowledgement. Yeah. We got pinstripes.
The Yankees are back.
There might be a couple of Yankees actually in the crowd.
And then into the opening chords. Into Glory Days.
Yeah, could
baby.
Be. Yeah, yeah. At one time he did Glory Days in New York.
Did he play that for you, Portland?
I got a Glory Days, yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, sure. Right. He did, one time he played that tune, and do you remember the pitcher Al Leiter?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he joined them on stage with a guitar
run. Al Leiter's on MLB Network, right? And his brother Mark was a Willie Mack Award winner for the Giants in the mid-90s.
Nice.
Great detail there, buddy.
That is a good one.
Okay. Power Hour.
Let's go, baby.
Kruko, top six, cooler content next on the Sports Leader.
Yeah!
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.